Turning your Bibles with me over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Get this down to where I'm not breathing into it quite as much. Many years ago in India, a little boy fell into the local village water well. He was of the Brahmin social group, and all of the Brahmin men were out of town at work, so the only ones that were there were the women, the village women, and they frantically did all that they could to try to help the little boy, but they were unable to rescue their child. Well, there was a man down the street who heard the screams and the cries of the frantic women trying to help the little child. And he quickly ran up the street and ran to offer his help. But the women were horrified. They said, "You can't help us." The reason was that the man was of the sweeper caste, a different group. And his touch would defile their water and defile their child. And they rejected him and sent him away. The women left the child in the well all day until evening when their men came home. And the Brahmin men went down into the well and fished the lifeless, drowned little boy out of the water. To these people, maintaining their traditions and taboos was of more importance than saving the life. Did they care? Do we care? To hear our daily news, we note both the stories of brave rescues, along with the heartbreaking accounts of neglect, abuse, and evil. The National Center for Disease Control for the year 2020 lists causes of death by category. I told you wrong. It's 2019. They haven't got 2020 done yet. 2019, the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 through 34, is suicide. The first category is unintentional death. You get run over, fall down, hit your head, things like that. Right underneath that is suicide. And the same curse is high in the list for every age category following that. Does anybody care? Some do. Most people just continue on with their life. Psalm 127, verse 3 tells us that children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. But the unreported largest slaughter of human life in America today is the legalized abortion of unborn innocent babies. 1.5 million babies every year are aborted. An article in LifeChain web posting, a group that tries to help and protect and save these babies, dated October the 2nd, 2020, last year, states this, quote, "Since 1973, about 62 million unborn babies have been killed in supposedly safe, legal abortions. Hundreds of mothers also have died, and countless more mothers have been scarred for life." Who cares? Well, our news media doesn't care. That's taboo to report anything of that. And now we come to our story in our scripture today. The disciples had dedicated themselves to the Lord. He had appointed the 12, called them to walk with him, follow him, so that he could teach them, and they are learning from Jesus. After a long, full, hard day, they have been serving and serving and serving, and what happens when you go through a long day of service? You're tired, exhausted. And they were seeking some quiet time and some rest, and the Lord said, let's go in the boat and go across to the other side of the lake. And so these guys, along with Jesus, are anticipating peace, quiet, and rest. But it's not in the forecast. Not in their forecast. Let's read our text today. Mark 4, starting in verse 35 through verse 41. On that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are still watching over us, caring for us, and concerned about this nation, this land, this world. You are concerned about every person of every caste, every group, and you are desiring that they all would know about eternal life through your Son, Jesus. And you want us as well to be with you forever because of Jesus. Father, help us to reflect upon this story, to examine our own lives and the storms of life that we face and our trust in you. Father, help us to grow. Help us to spread the good news that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that Jesus cares about everybody. Thank you. Lead us, guide us, empower us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled the message, Does Jesus Care? What is the answer to that? Yes, he cares. We know that. But so many billions of people do not know that story yet. And so let's examine our level of concern. Level of concern of God as we go through this passage. My first point is that I wanted to make was that Jesus cares about our physical needs. And we see this in our text today. Four of those disciples knew the deadly effects of this lake, the Sea of Galilee, the deadly effects after years of experience of being fishermen on that lake. They knew the consequences of being out on that lake, especially during a horrible gale, a storm that comes up suddenly. They were fishermen raised on that lake. They had probably buried many, many friends and family members who were caught by sudden storms on that lake. Drownings, because people aren't fish. And when a bad storm comes up and you're caught in it, there's not much hope. My mother worked for a doctor in my hometown. And years after she had quit there, he liked to go fishing a lot. And he went fishing on a little lake that we had close to us. And a storm came up. And he drowned. All of his medical experience didn't help him a bit. He got caught in a storm and lost his life. And the disciples are thinking, we're doomed. We're in a storm that is greater than us. They were terrified. Professional fishermen. They were experienced. They spent their whole life out there. But they knew that they weren't greater than the water and the waves and the winds that were blowing. But their master Jesus is what? He's sound asleep in the back of the boat, laying on the cushion, seemingly totally indifferent to what is going on. Now, at the moment, they weren't thinking logically. But think about what's been going on. Jesus has been ministering entire long days of helping the weak, the poor, the frail, healing people, strengthening people, encouraging people, teaching people. And after days and days of doing this, and often he would get up and do what in the middle of the night? Pray. Sometimes all night long. So his physical body was, can I use the word, exhausted? He was tired. And when he laid down, his head hit the cushion, the pillow, and what did he do? He fell asleep. Just like any of us would do. But the disciples don't see that. The howling wind, the rocking boat, it's rocking Jesus to sleep. But to them, they're getting seasick, they're professional fishermen, because it's rocking so badly. And the water's splashing everywhere, and the wind's blowing it sideways, and everybody's soaking wet, and the water's pouring into the boat, and they're trying to push it back out, and it's not working. The disciples finally wake up Jesus, and they challenge his concern for their lives. Verse 38, did you see that? Don't you care? How could he be so neglectful to order them out onto the lake, this guy who seems to know everything, and he put him right out in the middle of harm's way? And they were going to drown. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How can you lie asleep? When each moment our life is threatening, a grave in the angry deep, the winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace,
Be still. Amen? There's nothing going to harm them. There's nothing going to harm them. Because the Creator is there. But they don't see it. With three words, the Creator of all things, calm that storm and save their lives. God cares about your daily lives. God provided Israel with manna for their daily food for 40 years. And then He provided them a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. With homes made, with orchards planted, with grape orchards fully planted and producing, with fields planted. God cares about the needs of His people. God is the owner of how much? Everything. And He gives His children all that they need if they will only trust in Him. What's Psalm 23 all about? The Lord is somebody else's shepherd? They won't want? No, He's my shepherd. And because of Him, I won't have any needs. In the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples, we learn to totally trust in God's power, God's protection, and God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God already knows our need before we even ask. Even before we wake up to the need. He is faithful to provide for us. And what should our response be? Trust and praise. Celebrate the God who cares about us. And when we are hurt, and if we are drowned, is that the end? God is still in control, and He has prepared a home for the people down the street, for us, in which righteousness dwells. Jesus always cares about our physical needs, and He is the provider. He may have given you the ability to go out and work and earn a paycheck and get the money and go down to the store and buy something that somebody else picked out of the field that God made produce, but God is the provider of all of our physical needs. Jesus cares about our spiritual needs. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, all who are lost, the sinners, the rebellious, those who are fighting against God, which includes every person outside of this room, right? No, us in this room as well. Jesus had been with the multitudes all day long, again, tending to their physical needs, but more importantly, healing their souls, working on their souls. Yes, He took time to heal the sickness and the brokenness, but more importantly, He was teaching them the truth of God, the ways of God, the desires of God. Long hours were devoted to feeding the souls of God's sheep, the words of eternal life, and Jesus was physically exhausted. How many people are invited? All people are invited. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and following, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Find help. anybody and everybody in Jesus. Jesus came for how many people? All people. Jesus now challenges the weakness of faith in his own disciples. Did you catch that? The weakness of faith in his own disciples. What's wrong with you guys? I've been with you. You watch me perform miracles, healings. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, I have to admit, if I was out there in that boat, I'd probably been scared to death too, because I don't like deep water. How strong is my faith? I have to ask myself that. And you have to ask yourself that. When the storms of life come along, are you going to stand firm in faith in Jesus? It's easy to look at the other people. Boy, those guys in the boat, they just didn't have any faith. Well, I'd probably be screaming one of the loudest screamers. Help! Wake up, Jesus! We need to grow in our faith. In this challenge that Jesus gives to them, the Lord of creation is trying to teach his men that when they are with him and he is with them, what do they have to fear? Nothing. They have nothing to fear with Jesus on their side. They have nothing to be timid about. They don't need to lack courage. They don't need to fear anything on this earth because God is with them. God is with you when you are with him. The 12 disciples had a front row seat to see the power of Jesus over failing flesh, over invasive demons, over false teaching, and they needed to learn to trust in the power of the Master over the power of the earth, the wind, and the water. Even when it seemed like there was no hope in sight. Pitch blackness, howling wind, raging water, and Jesus is at my side. Nothing to fear. Jesus cares about every soul's spiritual need. Believe in him. Walk with him. Trust him. Jesus cares about our eternal need for life. God loves all of humanity so much that he already had a plan in place before he even began the creation, the scripture tells us, to redeem us and cleanse us because he already knew about the stupid things we would choose to do. That we would give in to the deception of Satan. And God knows the test that Satan is giving you. And whether you will have victory or fail. But turn to him. He continues to reach out to every single one of us. As long as we have life and breath in us, he wants us to trust him for eternity. We learn through the Apostle Peter, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God. Jesus came with you on his mind. Write your name in your Bible. For God so loved, write your name, that he gave his only begotten Son, that he died for. Write your name so that you can have eternal life. Amen? Jesus came intentionally to seek and to save the lost, and we are the lost. God created people to have fellowship with Him. We are made in His image to be His children. God walked with His children in the perfection of the Garden of Eden until they broke His law. He knew that they would sin, and He prepared for the unity to restore all humanity back into His presence by Himself paying the price for our sin. God put on human flesh to dwell among us, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. There's a grave headstone in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, I am told, of a Civil War soldier that has these words on the headstone: Abraham Lincoln's substitute. Abraham Lincoln's substitute. On the grave of a Civil War soldier. You see, President Lincoln had that epitaph written and placed there as he languished over the thousands of soldiers who were dying so that he could live. He cared about his soldiers. He didn't want the war. He didn't want the division. He wanted the unity of a nation. And he languished over those soldiers that died so that he could live. Jesus died for everybody to live. And He languishes over our rebellion, our resistance, our rejection. Jesus came to give all people abundant life. He knew His purpose in coming. He knew that He had to fulfill all of the prophecies of the Old Testament regarding His coming. And He kept all of those prophecies regarding the Messiah's arrival. The rejection of the leading Jews, the mockery, the brutality, the torture, the death, the cross, and the victory over the grave so that we could live. He conquered the grave, and He knew that was in the plan. It wasn't an accident, it wasn't a surprise, it was all in the plan. But He had to die in the process to pay for our sin. Jesus became our substitute, dying in our place and leading the way to heaven's gate. Because He lives, we have a full assurance of our faithful God is preparing a place for us to live with Him, to be one with Him. Jesus has promised that He's going to return with the armies of heaven and to destroy all of His enemies, but He's going to take all of His children, all of His believers, all of His followers to be with who? With Him. But we have to walk with Him. We have to live for Him. We have to be faithful. As we face the challenges of every day, the temptation will come. Satan will tempt us and say, God doesn't care. Jesus doesn't care. Look at all the problems that you've got. Look at the people down the street. They're doing so much better than you. Jesus doesn't care. What's your answer going to be, care? Yes, He does. He paid for my sin so that I can live. I might have trouble today. I might have trouble tomorrow. My body may be falling apart. But in heaven, I'll have a perfectly new eternal body. Just like Jesus's. Get away from me, Satan. You have no part in my life. Can we say that? Will we do it? When you're about ready to drown, when you're laying in your sick bed, when your body hurts so much that you wish Arthur would leave. Let's be faithful. Jesus does care. God repeatedly says in His Word, He reassures us that our Heavenly Father cares about every person's life, and He cares about your neighbor's life. Those people that we really don't want to deal with, we must deal with them. Sharing with them that Jesus cares about them too. Help them. Jesus cared so much that He died for their sins too. He loves them. And we are called to do the work of Jesus. So, hang on. There's a bumpy ride ahead. Jesus said there will be problems if you follow Him. And you may get into a serious storm. But remember, He's with you. If you need to talk with the elders or myself about something in your life to help you, decisions you're being made in your life, we're here for you. God bless you. Let's honor our Savior, King of eternity. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your great love, for your compassion, your concern, your care for us, for your meeting our daily needs and providing beyond that. You have prepared an eternal home for us with life everlasting. Let us honor and glorify you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.